Yeah, you know, we end up starting. Boom, we started. And that's my new thing is I'm like, look, we start doing these pre-interviews where we talk and the conversation's flowing and we're like, why aren't we recording this? Johnny, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, it's such an honor to be here, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, great for coming on. And, you know, it's just, it's cool how these things work out, how podcasts work out, is you get to have conversations with different people, all different spectrums. It doesn't have to be veterans altogether. It doesn't have to be law enforcement. It's just anybody, man, as long as you support the protector community. So thank you, brother.
Yeah, no, thank you. Not only do I support the community, it's become my life's work, and I couldn't be in a better place working with the Fit Ops Foundation and having an opportunity not just to be able to serve our nation's best. And, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this as we progress, but I used to, you know, I have so much reverence and respect for anybody that served in any capacity, whether it's the military, police, fire, EMS. And it wasn't until I found Fit Ops that I asked myself some really tough questions about my life's work and where I thought I could make a stronger impact. And I think, you know, the roundabout version is that's what sort of puts you and I together on this call today, is just a culmination of years of work in a specific space that, as I'm learning more and more every day, is not only transferable to the veteran community, but absolutely necessary in the mental health space. And so I'm excited to do the work every day, man. It's truly, truly feel blessed to do it.
Well, that's the mission, brother. And it's like finding that next mission. So let's get that, you know, the 30,000 foot overview of who you are, where you came from, and then we'll jump right into like how you stumbled across Fit Ops, as you would like to say it.
Yeah, sure. No doubt. So my background professionally over the last over two decades, sort of fresh out of college, was in education. You know, my father was my hero, was my idol. And my dad worked in urban ed, and he was a counselor for at-risk kids in an urban area not far from where I grew up. My father was a veteran, and I have one older brother. You know, we grew up pretty typical working class American family. You know, my dad was a public educator, my mom was a, and still is, a dental hygienist. And but my call to I think serve other people certainly came from my dad, and he was just amazing at what he did in terms of the work he did with kids and families who came from nothing in the way of economics and the love he showed for all people. And as I look at the events of our recent years in this country around race and other sensitive issues, I was so blessed to grow up where it was never even an issue for me, because everybody that my father worked with didn't look like me. They weren't Caucasian. And so what a great introduction I had to being empathetic and to getting to know people from their hearts and their heads and their stories. So I got into education first about over 20 years ago, with an emphasis and a really strong interest in human performance and psychology, because I was an athlete and then started coaching football right out of college. And I really had this strong, strong desire to learn as much as I could about the psychological side of performance. So I transitioned very quickly from being a classroom teacher to being a counselor in a school, and dove into really two primary areas. One was psychological performance, and the other was around career readiness. And about 3 or so years into my career, one of my students' fathers took his own life. And I was on a regional crisis team in our area where all different sort of people within specialty areas, if there was something terrible that happened in town, the police or fire would asked to deploy other assets to those places to support the family. And so, you know, I happened to go to be sent to this house because the son, who was an athlete of mine, was asking for me to see me. And when I got there, his father was still hanging in the shed. And as I look back on that experience, that was really the moment in time for me where suicide and suicide prevention became a huge passion for me in terms of learning as much as I could about the epidemic. And
you know, when you bring up the suicide, and that's you know, I did watch the little, there's a video FitOps has out with John Cena talking about suicide and talking about how it's someone's brother or mother, and anybody that can commit suicide. And you know, I talk about it openly about my suicidal ideations throughout you know, my podcasts, and I'm never gonna not talk about it because it needs to be talked about.
It does.
But when you know, anybody can do it. But getting there before it happens and recognizing the signs is paramount, man. Because look, I mean, look at your the person you coach, the kid. I mean, his life is completely affected. And I can imagine the reason he reaches out to you is because a coach is almost like a father figure. It's like someone that's like, you're basically filling in for the fatherhood for two, 3 hours a day.
Absolutely.
Teaching them a skill, you know, and that's something I wish everybody could realize how suicide, it just affects so many. It's a ripple effect, how it just ripples through the whole community.
There's no
like
question.
You said, everybody gets deployed out there.
Yeah. You mentioned something too that I think is worth stating again and cannot be overemphasized enough. And that is, you know, the stigma attached to suicide is that most people are just not comfortable discussing the topic of suicide, right? And what you mentioned was how you're open about your ideations and how you continue to be because you recognize the importance of that, not just for you, you know, clinically, to continue to step into that so that you're more aware and pay closer attention to the things that are happening within your head and heart, but also as a really great spokesperson for other people from your community on the military side and the first responder side. I mean, if we look at the data that's out there around our veterans and first responders, because of the nature of the work that you all do mm-hmm. every day and over long periods of time, and also the culture around not speaking up and being,
you said it, stigma right there.
Yeah. So I think it's really important that every time we have a chance to openly have discussions around the topic of suicide or even suicidal ideations, we have to be able to be brave enough to enter those conversations because A, we don't know who's listening, and B, what it does is it opens the door for people that come from very strongly driven communities like law enforcement and the military to understand that it's okay. It's okay to talk to somebody about this. You know, this is a permanent solution to temporary problems. And
you know, when you say it's okay to talk to someone, and that's the problem with the law enforcement community, emergency responders, military, is it's finally starting to reach the upper levels of the chains of command that it's okay for your soldiers, your troops, your officers, your agents to come forward. A lot of times before that, like it's been about a decade, a little bit less than that before when I was really, really down in the dumps and really, really close to saying, hey, you know what, life would be better off without Jason Piccolo in it. I didn't, you know, if I went to my chain of command or anybody else like that, they would have been like, well, we're not going to stick up for you, you know, suck it up. That's the word, is suck it up.
Sure.
And then you don't feel like you can go to anybody else. You don't feel like you can go to your peers. The thing is, the peer support network is huge in this. And that's where I see a lot of this camaraderie, a lot of this building a new mission, a lot of this having a team to get behind. That kind of, it becomes your support network that you might not be able to get anywhere else. You might not be able to feel comfortable talking to your family. You might not be comfortable talking to your, you know, coworkers or anything else, but if you have a support network, you know, have them close, have your phone close, make sure your support network becomes an actual support network.
That's right.
Not just an idea. You know, I went through five or six counselors before I found one that was decent enough to talk to.
That's right.
That's the other thing too about this is you go to one and you kind of get, you get turned off and you're like, well, the hell do they know? They're 23-year-old punk who's asking me, you know, questions about this, this and that. And, you know, they're only here to see me because they want to make it to, they, you know, get their certificate to be a counselor.
Sure. Yeah.
I found someone.
It's absolutely true.
It is, man. And I hate to laugh about it, but it's kind of like a nervous laugh where you're like, this is the resources out there. But then it comes on to you. If you really need to get the help, you really have to put your foot down, get a foothold, and push forward. It's you're gonna stumble. That's
yeah. And I think I think to that point, you know, one of the things that we try to share a lot with our veterans that come through our program is that if you can take so many of those skills that you learn in the military and the ideology around grit and commitment and you know, finishing the mission, I tell our guys and gals all the time, you are the same elite warriors you were in uniform. Your mission has now changed. And when you ran into obstacles in the military and when you ran into obstacles on missions, there was no question that you were going to find a way to get it done because that's what you trained for. That's what you were tasked to do. Mm-hmm. And to the left and to the right of you, you were not going to let anybody down. And that's what you prepared to do. And it's okay at this point in your life, as you're transitioning, to start to view your mental health the same way, is that you have a mission for yourself now. And that mission is to cultivate the peace and the joy in your life that you feel like is missing. Because we don't have to get to a place, brother, where a guy like Jason Piccolo or Johnny Martin or any of our other people that we love and care about so much, we don't have to get to that place where we're sitting in that room and we feel like whatever comes on the other end of this decision is better than the way that life is going right now.
Yeah,
part of that comes from the culture that you all were raised in that, well, in every turn that I've taken to try to get help, the door has been slammed in my face. And so if I'm tired already, if I have an underlying mental health issue already, if every door that I've tried to walk through has been slammed in my face, how much incentive do I have to keep going? And so what we're learning now is exactly what you were speaking about a few minutes ago, brother. The more doors we can open for people to engage with things that they are passionate about and use those passions and those cornerstones as a foundation to start to introduce conversations that are uncomfortable, then we have folks that begin to open up more and more. I'm amazed every day, man. I tell people all the time, I am so fortunate from the other side of the fence as a civilian who has a pretty significant background in mental health to be able to get on the phone with folks like you, but also to be able to interact with my veterans everywhere from a Navy cook to a Navy SEAL and everything in between. And to see that we are working to cultivate a culture of A, empowerment, and B, the recognition that real strength comes from our ability to be vulnerable and to step into these conversations that we've never been allowed to have before, but we've been searching for so long, man, it's, as you know, it is so, so powerful.
Yeah. Once that anger turns to empathy, and you could build these communication gaps, I mean, you could break them down and build the bridges. I mean, that's kind of cliche, but it's true, is, you know, anger for so long will eat you up. And then when you find out that it doesn't matter if it's a Navy SEAL, a Navy cook, or the guy or girl, what they did, you still have a common bond, and that bond is a serve.
That's right.
You know, everybody that joined for whatever reason, you signed the contract, you're serving, you served. It doesn't matter if it was one day or 100 days or you got injured or whatever, you still signed the contract to serve.
And I think that's a really important point in bringing service members together that come from different service experiences. And what I mean by that is, as you know, on my end, one of the most challenging things for me to do within the foundation has been to break through the barriers that exist culturally, societally around, well, what do I know as a civilian about what Jason Piccolo went through in uniform. But actually what we're finding, as we're starting to help our vets transition from uniformed military service to the civilian world, is we're actually finding that it's not about me trying to speak the language of the military, because that's disingenuous, right? It's so I can't be anyone other than who I am. But what I also encourage them to understand is that who you are, your identity as a human being, is made up part and parcel of your willingness and your choice to serve. But that is not who you are as a man or a woman. What makes you different, what makes veterans different, I think, and I've had a chance to speak to so many amazing people about this topic. What makes that 1% different to me, brother, is that 1% raise their right hand. And that 1% raised their right hand and they said, as you put it, I am willing to serve. Now, what they did in uniform to me is irrelevant. And that's, I think, a great way to also bridge the gap between the civilian mindset and the military mindset. I wasn't where you were, brother. I don't know what you went through, but I know trauma because as a human being, I've had it. I know pain because as a human being, I've had it. So let's share our experiences around trauma and pain. Let's take a look at what the common denominators are and let's work on those, because what these guys and gals are finding is that they're synonymous, even though the way that they were acquired is going to be different than the way I acquired mine. The factors that lead to our depression, our anxiety, our sleeplessness, our irritability, all of those things, a lot of those common denominators are very similar, even though our exposure to trauma might be from different places. So, and I think once service members as well within their own ranks can stop comparing, well, you know, I had 6 deployments that were all outside the wire. What do you know about trauma? You were a finance person in the Air Force. We have nothing in common. Instead of what unites the 1%, and what unites the 1% is the fact that you all did this when the 99% of us didn't. That's what unites you. That's what makes you all the same. What you did as your job.
And, you know, one thing about being in the service is I guarantee you, regardless of rank, you always wanted to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. You're always searching for the knowledge that someone else has. And I see that a lot of that 1% community is like, hey, look, what is going on with my brain? Why isn't it firing right? And how do I get through this slump? And what is my next mission? What's the next mission? And that's where I think we should transition into FitOps, is because I really dig this idea. And that's why when I talked to Matt and everybody before, it was like, hey, look, you know, you guys are out there trying to build veterans in the community into having not just, hey, you know what, we could all work out. Cool. I used to get up in early in the morning, work out, but building them to where they can actually have, I like the certified veteran fitness operative. So they can actually have a career.
That's right. You can
actually take this on, become a trainer. You could take it somewhere else. But not just that, when you go to the camp, you're building a network. I've tell everybody your network is so important. Civilians, first responders, anybody you meet, build that network. Keep them in your Rolodex. Rolodex. No, what am I, like 50 years old now?
Hey, listen, almost. I still have one.
So, man, I need a real Rolodex, brother. Hey, so let's talk about this, you know, aftercare and What's your definition of aftercare and why should they care about aftercare?
Yeah. So I think for me, when I look at aftercare or graduate support or vets that we have in the pipeline, my ability to support them, you know, and we're tossing idea around is aftercare truly the right word? But what I really mean by that, how my mission is driven every day. And right now I'm a house of one. Fortunately, I have tremendous support from our upper level leadership at FitOps. I mean, you talk about entering a family by definition. the support I receive daily from that crew is amazing. But for me, here's what it looks like. Day to day, what we realized, what I realized when I first got onto camp, we've had 10 camps go through FitOps since our inception. I knew nothing about FitOps until 2 years ago. I was very content working the job I was working and thought I was doing some good and loved it. When I was introduced to FitOps, one of the things that Matt asked me to do, because I really wanted to give thanks to our men and women in uniform instead of saying thanks. So I volunteered to go to a camp. And I just said, man, I don't know if I could provide any value, but here's what I've done for the last couple of decades. I'd love to try to do some programming with your folks. He asked me to take a look very closely at what we thought was missing from a mental health standpoint. Right. And so I get onto camp and I witness these unbelievable moments where you have these men and women step into some really uncomfortable and really vulnerable situations mentally and emotionally. And the support they received while they were on deck was unreal. And so being the site guy, I said to Matt, I said, tell me what happens when they leave. Tell me what happens when the FitOps high, as we call it, wears off. When they go back to their cities and towns, they haven't found that dream job right away. They don't have the camaraderie that they felt for the last 17 to 20 days. Tell me what happens. And so at that time, the staff was skeleton. It was very small, right? I mean, Matt created this out of a passion for military service and his wanting to give back to the military. So he was trying to operate this literally on his own with the help of one other full-time staff person. So I started looking, and this was before I even was offered a job or even worked for FitOps. I said, just tell me what it looks like when they leave. And so based on those answers and what I saw in subsequent camps, I started building a curriculum around how can we support these men and women when they come back home in three areas. How can we continue to support them physically? How can we continue to support them emotionally? And how can we continue to support them from a career readiness standpoint? So in those three areas is where the majority of my work day to day looks like. So on any given day, brother, from morning until I finish, it could be individual calls and check-ins with veterans all across the country, from Alaska to Florida and everywhere in between, that they set up with me, or I do some random checks and jump on Zoom with them to see how they're doing. I do national Zoom calls several days a week where I invite our entire graduate population to jump on a Zoom call, and we either do them so that they're theme-based or we keep an open call. And people jump on, everybody says hello one another. I check in on their week. I may give them a prompt that just gets them thinking a little bit about where their headspace is at. That's another way we do it. We bring presenters on all the time from all different entities to talk about their businesses, their lives. I've brought in HR people to talk about hiring practices. I've brought in former military members who are experts in strength and conditioning. I've brought in recovery specialists. I've brought in mental health professionals. So that's another way we do it. And then I also try to distribute once a week what we call a resource blast, where I'll send out information relative to careers in certain areas in the fitness space.
Perfect, man. Perfect. And you're pinging on a lot of great areas that, you know, it's not just, I'm so glad you're doing the aftercare thing, and I'm glad you're setting it up to where they actually have opportunities. Because you need that. You need the follow on. You need follow up. You can't just, you know, and that's a lot of things that happen in the veteran space, the veteran battle space, is that they go to a camp, they do something for a week, that they get that huge adrenaline high. They get that huge high of being around brothers and sisters again. And then boom, what happens next? With this one, the Zoom calls, the career path, it gives them options. They have the option of reaching out to their fellow FitOps people. They have the options of reaching out to you. They have access. And bringing in outside parties is incredible resource for them. You have the right people come in, the right people talk to them. So many legitimate people out there have their hearts in the right place that want to help.
That's right. They don't know how. A lot of them don't know how to get involved. Yeah.
in the philanthropy world and the nonprofit world and in the world that people just, you know, they have money or they have ideas or they have a passion, they don't know how to help.
That's right.
And when they find something like that, they come in, they're like, wow, there's a community of 1% of the people out there who are willing to serve and die for their country. Huh. How can I help them out?
That's right.
So I like that idea, man. I really do.
Yeah. And you know, Harrison talks about it very, very eloquently, but one of the things that he and I have talked about a lot was sort of his own transition, right? And the transition I see from others that have left military service, whether it's after a one tour commitment or whether they've spent a career in the military. And it's this notion that, you know, you've given your life for the last 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 years to a service. And there might be a 2-week transitional program, but most of that is logistically based, right? You got to turn your gear in. There might be some career discussions. But at that point, I would imagine, just from a clinical perspective, that the soldier or Marine or airman, their head and heart is already back home or wherever they're going next. And then everything that has been sort of embedded in you ideologically, culturally, physically, with the snap of a finger, that's gone.
Yep.
And what we feel like is really important as we continue to develop as a foundation is we feel like we can't have any of our veterans leave our experience and leave a FITOPS camp without at least the ability to choose to stay connected if they want to. And that's where the empowerment piece comes in. Yes, these are all grown men and women, and nothing is going to be handed to any of them. We want them to earn it all, because as you and I both know, that's what you have to do, not just in the military, but in the civilian world as well.
Nobody wants a handout. At the end of the day, it's like, and you know, we see that all the time with the VA and everybody else, like, here, we'll give you some money. Just be happy with it. And it's like, you don't really want a handout. You want, and man, I hate saying cliche crappy. You don't want a handout, but you want a hand up. That's really right. You want to be able to do things on your own.
There's a huge difference, right? Between a handout and an opportunity. There's a huge difference between the two. And one of the things that we really try to emphasize is, and Matt says this all the time, we're not going to hand you a fish, but we are damn sure going to teach you how to fish, you know, using cliches again, but it's so true, is that we are going to present you with opportunities to improve your personal journey. What you do with those opportunities at the end of the day is completely up to you, but we aren't going to leave your side if you choose to stay connected with us. And I think it's hugely powerful. And the role that I've been fortunate enough to step into, to say that I'm grateful would be an understatement. Because I feel like, you know, for lack of a better word, the young kid in me, or the person who has always looked at folks in uniform with such a high level of respect and affinity, well, I get to directly put my hands on those people every day. And for me, there's no greater reward in a field where maybe I can be just a small catalyst for change in that person's life and be part of a team with a bigger mission. And it's extremely rewarding.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, you know, I used to, protectors used to be just all about, you know, that certain core and those that support them. But now so many people are out there, you know, they want to protect their house. They want to protect their home. They want to protect their family. And they support the community so much. If more people supported the community, even if it's just through, hey, you know what, how you doing today? And the thank you for my service things, that's, people are always going to do that.
Sure.
But if it's more than that, they take that next step and say, hey, you know what? What have I done to support our country, our people, and everything else? And they get rid of that, you know, the self-preservation, and they get out there and say, hey, you know what? How can I support others? And that's what you're seeing a lot of. If you get off of mainstream media and you get off a lot of the social media, you'll see that there's a heck of a network out there of people that just want to help others.
Yeah. And just simply doing the next right thing by others. You know, we get into a place, I think, where we get so wrapped up, if we get hung up in the mainstream media and what's going on politically over the last several years in this country, we get so fixated on what divides us that we lose sight of the beauty that is going on all around us. And not just in this foundation, but in, you know, in my city and in cities I travel to speak and work with people, there's so much more good out there in humanity than there is that we are fed every day through mainstream media outlets. There's just so much good going on out there and absolutely, so many people working to get together.
So FitOps, what's up next for FitOps? I know there's camps. We're starting to see a lot more in-person virtual type stuff, but what's next up for FitOps?
Yeah, I think what we're most excited about is that we are going to have a chance soon to get back on ground and start running in-person camps. I don't have a firm deadline for those yet, but I just know we're a hell of a lot closer than we have been. And so our biggest excitement on the leadership front and the team front is that we're going to be able to get geared up for camps. In the meantime, our 300 plus graduates that are out there around the country have access to our team all the time. And we've got a bunch of folks in the pipeline right now getting ready to get on camp, and we're already working with them through presentations and interactions as we speak. So if you have a passion for fitness, and if you've been in the military, active or reserve in any branch, and you have an affinity for fitness and want to be around like-minded people and step into some really, really cool experiences that are going to help you expand your physical fitness, but also your mental fitness, we want to meet you and we want to talk to you.
Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you stepping up. That is the big thing. And thank you all for what you're doing. This is a great opportunity for veterans out there. And everybody, go check out FitOps. They're online. You can find them right away. You can watch a cool video of John Cena, you know, if you could see him.
That's actually how I found FitOps, man. I was introduced to FitOps through John. John and I have been friends 25 years, and that's how I found FitOps.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you so much, man.
Don't hang up.
No, I won't.